This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good morning and welcome to the Our Wireless Connection radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Carolyn and my husband, Pastor Larry, and I thank you for joining us today. Let's go directly into the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says in the New Living Translation, "You seem to believe whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach about a different Jesus than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Lord, bless the reading of your holy word. Let it accomplish all it's been sent out to do." And this morning, I would like to talk about the ministry of reconciliation, the glory of God and his suddenlies. And as we move forward, if we could take a moment and read out of Hale Lindsey's book, Amazing Grace, I would like to touch on pages 161 and 162 with regard to reconciliation. "To me, one of the happiest words in the English language is reconciliation. I immediately picture two people being restored into a new relationship. It's one of God's favorite words too, because it means he can now restore man into fellowship with himself because of the sum total of the threefold work of Christ on the cross. Propitiation brings man out from under the wrath of God through satisfying his righteousness and justice. Redemption brings man out from slavery to sin and Satan through the payment of ransom. Substitutionary death brings man out from under the penalty of death through the death of Christ in our place. These three aspects of what Christ accomplished at the cross have torn down the barrier that man's sin built up against God. But even the barriers removed, the relationship between God and man must be reestablished. This is Christ's work of reconciliation. It is important to remember that God never changed. He was always and has always loved man and still does. The world has not changed either. It's still in rebellion against God. But what has changed is that judicially, the barrier is now down, and when anyone sees this and believes Christ did it for him, he immediately becomes reconciled to God. To put this great truth in the most simple way, reconciliation means that God isn't angry with us anymore and no longer holds our sins against us. The Lord Jesus has borne all the anger God had against my sins and against me, the sinner. He paid for them once and for all. So God now deals with me in unmerited love or grace. God's wrath will never be toward me again because it was all taken out on Christ in my place. When I found that God wasn't angry at me anymore, I stopped running from him and turned to him. This is called reconciliation. Reconciliation brings a man out from under his mental attitude of alienation from God with the barrier taken out of the way through the work of Christ on the cross. Reconciliation means that through Christ, man may now be brought from alienation to fellowship with God. In fact, it's when man really begins to see how Christ has so completely removed the barrier so that he's no longer angry that he begins to open up toward God and want to be reconciled to him. That's reading from Hale Lindsey's book, Amazing Grace, pages 161 and 162 on reconciliation. And so we see these three things, this threefold work on the cross that Jesus did for us propitiation, redemption, and substitutionary death, bringing man out from under the wrath of God through satisfying his righteousness and justice, brings man out from slavery to sin and Satan through the payment of ransom, brings man out from under penalty of death through the death of Christ in our place. Let's go to the scripture now, starting at Luke chapter 2, the New King James Version, verses 1 through 14, Christ born of Mary. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Lord, bless the reading of your holy word. Let it accomplish all it's been sent out to do. And we see here suddenly there was this angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Why? Because the Savior is here. The Savior's been born. He's a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That Savior that will ultimately be the propitiation, the redemption, and the substitutionary death, bringing man into right standing with God. What a day. Hallelujah. For the glory of God that came upon those shepherds shone all around them. The shepherds were afraid because of the power, the glory that was upon them. Suddenly, imagine, you're a shepherd living out in the fields, keeping watch over a flock by night. What could possibly happen that's all that exciting, watching over the flock by night? But all of a sudden, in your daily routine of watching over the flock, daily doing your job, daily the same old, same old. And behold, an angel of the Lord stands before them. Glory to God. The glory is shown all around them. Says, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings." This is a good God. This is heaven coming. The glory of God coming with good tidings of great joy for all people, it says. The Savior. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is good. This is good tidings. This is great joy. This is peace to the earth and goodwill toward men. Reconciliation. The things that stood between mankind and heaven, between us and God. Now there's a way that has been made. Let's rejoice. It's a sudden moment. The heavenly host shows up in verse 13, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Hallelujah. This Jesus, this God that sent his only begotten Son, only meaning us peace, only meaning us goodwill, meaning us good tidings of great joy. This is our God, our Father. This is our God, our Father, who loves us, meaning us peace, goodwill, good tidings, great joy. This is my Son. Here is the Savior, Christ the Lord, for you. Propitiation, bringing you out from under the wrath of God through satisfying his righteousness and justice. Redemption brings man out from slavery to sin and Satan through the payment of a ransom. Substitutionary death brings man out from under the penalty of death through the death of Christ in our place. Glory to God. Lord, show us your glory and use us for your glory. For you are the God of glory. You are the God, Lord God, who brought to us peace and goodwill toward men. Lord God, your kindness toward us. Father God, in all that you have done for us. Let's look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22 in the Message translation. Walking on the water. As soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea, and when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. A ghost, they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to confront them. Courage! It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. He said, come ahead. Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, Master, save me. Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand and he said, Faint heart, what got into you? The two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down, and the disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, This is it. You are God's Son for sure. Excuse me. God bless the reading of your holy word and let it accomplish all it's been sent out to do. And let me ask you today, as we're talking about this babe born in a manger, this Savior out of Luke chapter 2, and we're asking ourselves and reminding ourselves, which Jesus do we know? We see here that the disciples see Jesus, but they don't really see him. It says, as soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. So the disciples are out on the boat. The boat was far out to sea. The winds come up. The waves are battering the boat. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Jesus is walking on the water. They think he's a ghost. They don't recognize him. They don't know him yet, who he really is. Do you know who he really is? Have you come to the point where you recognize Jesus as Savior? Have you come to the point where you will acknowledge him as Savior? They're crying out in terror. They think they've seen a ghost. Peter suddenly, he says, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. He's out on the water. Peter takes a step out. Are you willing to step out of the boat of where you are toward the Savior? Perhaps you've heard of all these different ways that you can come to God. But really, up until now, nothing's really touched you. I would propose today that you would take a good, long, hard look at the scriptures that we're laying out today. I would propose to you that if there would be a Savior for mankind, that it would have to be set up according to the way God wanted to set up a Savior for mankind, His way, as set forth in Luke chapter 2, sending the Savior, that we cannot be our own Saviors, but we need someone bigger, someone eternal, someone holy, someone that's not us to save us. Peter stepped out of the boat. Are you willing to step out in the boat today and say, I've tried everything. I'm going to step out on the boat today. Why? Because when Peter said, Master, is it really you? Call me to come out to you onto the water. And he said, come ahead. And Jesus says to you, come ahead. Come forth. Come toward me. I'm standing here. I'm out on the water. I know you're afraid. I know you've heard all these different things about who God is, what God is, different things that people's personal opinions about God, and it's brought an extreme amount of confusion. But notice, as Peter jumps out of the boat, he cries, he says, jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus, but when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink, and he cried, Master, save me. Today, will you step out from where you are and say, Master, save me. Master, save me. Forgive me of my sins and save me. Master, restore me and save me. Master, take my life. Save me. Master, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Save me. Master, set me free from those entanglements and things that have me in bondage. Save me, Master. My eyes are upon you. Don't look down. Eyes on Jesus. Master, save me. Master, change me. Master, call me out to you and I will come. Master, let me hear the sound of your voice that I might obey your instruction. Notice, Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed Peter's hand when he began to sink. We're not sinking. We're not going down. Eyes on Jesus. Master, save me. If you're an unbeliever, I encourage you, call out to the Lord, Master, save me. If you're a believer in a difficult situation, we call out to the Lord together, Master, save us. Hear our prayers. Master, bring the restorations, Lord God, to your people. Master, bring the divine turnarounds. Master, touch our lives for your glory. Master, show us your glory. Master, use us for your glory. There's power when we reach out to God, eyes on Jesus, willing to take a step, willing to come out of the comfort zone, willing to step out of the boat, willing to go into the divine supernatural realm. Master, save me. Eyes on you. Master, I'm stepping out on the boat. Take me into the divine supernatural places, Lord God, that only you can take me. Eyes on Jesus. You may be asking yourself today, why? I understand what she's saying about the Savior, but I really don't know that I need a Savior. I'm really not a bad person. I try to always do good. I try to help people. And I always try to give a little money to the poor people, and you can always count on me for a smile. I want to go to Exodus chapter 20 and read out of the New King James Version, starting at verse 1. It says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Bless the reading of your word, Lord God. Let it accomplish all it's been sent out to do." And as we read in Exodus chapter 20, we see that God has laid out before us the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses, saying and starting out that, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." He said, "I'm the deliverer. I'm God. And this is what it is. I'm going to lay out the rules. These are my commandments. These are my instructions to you." And I'm not going to read them all again, but the question I have for you is, have you violated any of these commandments? God set forth the commandments. God said, "This is the way it's going to be. I was your rescuer out of Egypt. I took you out of all the bondage. You couldn't do it for yourself. I'm the one. I am the Lord your God. These are the commandments." Have you ever broken any of those commandments? If you've broken any of those commandments, then you need forgiveness for those commandments. And the way that God has set it up for you to be forgiven was through this Savior born in Luke chapter 2, this Savior that came to the earth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, peace, God not angry with us anymore. Imagine how exciting it was, and the whole heavenly host praising God in excitement and the glory of God, saying, "Earth, all of you human beings, it's peace. God has peace toward you. There's a reconciliation." Now, I know there's a lot of different prophetic words and different things that I see coming out, and I'm not speaking to anything specifically, but I do just want to say, for the record, on the Our Wireless Connection radio broadcast, that when we're giving out prophetic words, and when I'm giving out any kind of word, whatever it might be, it behooves us to remember this Jesus born in a manger, swaddling cloths, heaven so excited, the heavenly host praising, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is the Jesus This is the beginning. This is where it all begins. And will ultimately come to the propitiation, redemption, and substitutionary death for all mankind. This is the Jesus. So in the words that we're speaking, the prophetic words we're giving out, making sure, according to 2 Corinthians 11:4, that we're understanding God's position always toward mankind. 2 Corinthians 11:4, you seem to believe whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach about a different Jesus than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Well, Luke chapter 2 makes it very clear that God's intention is for us to understand the ministry of reconciliation, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, Jesus on the cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It's not God's will for any to perish. God is the God of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And there's knowing the character of God requires getting to know the Word of God. But sometimes the different things that I see, especially lately coming out, I see a lot of anger being put out concerning God's position toward mankind. And I would propose to you that yes, God can bring judgment. God can deal with mankind. Yes, he can. I understand that in the last days there will be perilous times, but I do understand that when we look at the root and we go back to the beginning, this Jesus, not a different Jesus, the Jesus that comes forth in Luke chapter 2, the Heavenly Father sending his Son, we have to remind ourselves about the character of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. It's peace and goodwill toward you. It's God's desire that you would know him. It's God's desire that you would come to him. It's God's desire that no matter how hard it is, no matter what you've been through, no matter how many people have told you negative things about God, that God desires for you to take a bold move, step out of the boat, come to him, even may feel like you're having to walk on water to get to him because of all the things that have been said and done in your life concerning who God is, what God does, and his heart toward you. Take a step out of the boat, and even if you begin to slip and fall as you're walking toward him, his hand is extended toward you, just like it was to Peter. Loving God, sending his only begotten Son, loving God, stretching out his hand toward you to pull you up, a loving God. Yes, God sent his only begotten Son. Yes, God is a God who warns. Yes, God is a God who judges. But in Luke chapter 2, he reveals his heart toward you. I ask you to receive him today in Jesus' name. Blessed week, y'all.